This is the OpenSource.club, a free St. Louis-focused knowledge share podcast. Through industry experts, entrepreneurs, personal stories, and more, we provide the information you need to achieve and thrive. Always visit our website, theopensource.club, for more details. Contact us on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn.
For 20 years, Vietnam was at war. The Communist North fought against the Republic South from 1955 to 1975. To protect the South, U.S. troops fought from 1965 to 1973. We will never forget that the Vietnam War took more than 3 million lives, including 58,000 Americans. This is We Salute, and I'm your host, Dick Hewlett. This episode is sponsored by the Operating Engineers Local 513. Looking for a job? Go to IUOE513.org and learn about their Earn While You Learn apprentice program. Military veterans are eligible, too, through their Helmets to Hard Hats program. In a moment, we'll introduce you to one of St. Louis's amazing military veterans.
You are listening to We Salute by The Open Source. Become a subscriber. Go to www.theopensource.com. Add your email to the podcast subscription window. Get new shows in your inbox.
Herbert Silva is a Vietnam War veteran who served for 10 years. This Marine helicopter pilot threw 950 missions in support of Allied forces and saved a lot of lives. Silva's civilian life has included a 52-year marriage to Anne, four children, a 38-year dental practice, induction into the Major League St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame, and a full-time university teaching career where he became involved in creating the Missouri School of Dentistry and Oral Health's Veterans Smile Forward program. Welcome, Dr. Silva.
Good morning. Happy to be aboard. Who did all those things?
We're glad you're here. I can't wait to hear more about you. Let's start at the beginning. You enlisted in the Marines in 67. Tell me why you enlisted and how you became a helicopter pilot. What's the story on that?
I was born and raised in New England. My dad was World War II Army, Army Artillery. My dad stayed in the reserves. He was a great role model back when, emphasis on family and service to country and so forth. Take care of the troops, they'll take care of you. So that's how I kind of grew up. I went away from New England to the Midwest. I went to school in the middle of Illinois, a little small school. It's just closed after 170 some odd years, McMurray College. And get out there and was a liberal arts major during the 60s, obviously. I guess I knew what was going on in Southeast Asia. It didn't bother me. The Marine Corps offered to me the best opportunity from a standpoint. They had what was called the platoon leaders class. You could sign up. First, I tested and I wanted to fly. I tested. I wanted to fly fast movers, A-Force, and I took their aptitude test, did well. And so they had a deal where you went to OCS, Officer Candidate School, in between my junior and senior year of college. And I survived. We were the college scum that we got beat on and had to do more push-ups into the mud and so forth. The troops that we were with were going right on to infantry school and right over to Vietnam. The deal with that was I loved it. I knew I was being brainwashed. I knew that I loved the traditions. I loved the way that things were happening as far as the future was concerned. When I finished it, I did quite well. I enjoyed it. I got back for my senior year in college. I was playing soccer. That's when I started hooking up with Ann. First date we went on, I came back and told my roommate that I was going to marry that girl. We'd had a course or two before that, but there we were a year later. We were married. So I finished my college year, my senior year. That was a busy year, 68. I graduated from school. I got commissioned to active duty at graduation. I started off to infantry school. I had been offered a regular commission and didn't really know what that meant, but after I signed the paper saying yes, thank you very much, I found out that all regular officers were in the infantry. My aviation contract went to someplace that I wasn't going to be, and all of a sudden I was in the infantry and going to infantry school in Quantico. Where am I now? I'm in the summer of 68. I'm in infantry school. We finished that. Ann and I are planning to get married on my 30-day leave before I go to Vietnam as an infantry platoon commander into the Ashell with the 9th Marines, as what was scheduled. 2 weeks prior to that, the needs of the service changed, that more helicopter pilots were in need, and we got our orders changed to go to flight school. At that time, the Marine Corps was dealing stuff with the Army. We were some of the first Marines that went to Army flight school down in Texas. We were ordered to do well. Had to change the date of the marriage. We got married on a Saturday in Illinois, and I started flight school in Texas on the Sunday, that Sunday afternoon. So it loved the flight training. Transition after the Army wings, we had to go back, get our Navy wings with more instrument training, a little bit more stuff. That was in North Carolina. I was flying Huey gunships at the time. The Marine Corps was transitioning to the Cobra gunships, and I qualified to get into that, went to Cobra Flight School, and then went right to Vietnam in late 69.
Well, like so many people in the military, you've made some lifelong friends. I've heard there's a story about Cobra Joe and Lieutenant Colonel Pat Owen. What's that?
Well, the squadron we were in Vietnam, there were 40 of us that were, you know, hard charging. We were all of 23 years old and type A personalities. We all bonded. Well, Joe and I met up in infantry school, and we did flight school together. Pat, I think, was a month or so ahead of us, but we connected. The leadership that we learned in combat was served me well for the rest of my life. They led from the front, and they let people do their job, and they encouraged us. We were recreating close air support from the Marine Corps. Fast movers, F4s and A4s, and I'm sorry, and you know, those, the fast movers are dropping to 500-pound bombs or a far distance away from troops. We were shooting up close and with friendlies in jungle terrain and so forth. So we were developing those tactics, if you will. The pregame, that was soccer. The pre-mission briefs and the post-mission briefs and so forth, we all participated in, and we bonded with that. Joe and I, we had our primary duty was being a squadron pilot. I worked in operations. I ended up writing the schedule. We both worked flying and maintenance. Joe was just a terrific pilot, one of the good guys. And Joe, we were having problems with the aircraft. Again, all aircraft have problems, and we were going through slinging some tail rotors. Single rotor aircraft don't fly well without a tail rotor. We were slinging tail rotors. I think we lost 5 aircraft. Joe lost one over Marble Mountain, and they were out to, he was practicing whatever they were doing to get the bird up, whatever, they lost the tail rotor. And he landed the thing on the beach without any damage whatsoever. He was a skilled pilot and did very well. Unfortunately, Joe was later, he was killed in an AV-8 area. The guys, when we came back from overseas, most of the guys we flew with over there, they were lifers. I was planning to do that, but she who must be obeyed, she had different ideas. that's how it played out.
Well, I was going to ask you, where was Ann during all this? You've been married 52 years.
Ann was playing super mom, and we didn't have children until I came back from overseas. I'll get into that. Owen, let me give you a little bit about Owen. Owen and I, we stayed in touch, you know, with, whether it was connecting with when we came back, I was a flight instructor in Pensacola. Those guys were, I think, up in North Carolina, and they would fly down, and we would go fly in their aircraft, and we would come over for dinner and so forth. And as they stayed in the community, in the Marine Corps community, and they went to an AV-8 Harrier transition, I was scheduled to do that when I was ordered by the boss to get out, or at least to make an effort to get out. But Pat, you know, rose in ranks, and I think he was a lieutenant colonel. We stayed good buddies at some point back when he had retired from the Marine Corps, was farming, I think, out in Montana. And I said, Pat, let's go run the Marine Corps marathon. And we did that. We're running around. Neither one of us were marathon runners, but my training was doing a 10K every Sunday type of thing. By then I was doing stuff with the soccer world, and so I was in reasonable shape. But Patrick, as we were coming around, we were finished the first 6 miles as we were coming around by the Pentagon at the mile mark. And I said, Patrick, I said, I'm in uncharted territory. I said, I've never run more than a 10K. And he said, well, yeah, I ran a 10K. I did a 5K back in March and a 5K in June. So his total prep was a 10K. And we laughed that I did the fireman's carry and carried him up the final hill. But he then went on and became a financial advisor for for a significant company that took care of my wife's money and made us able to retire on stuff. So we've been buddies going forth.
That's a great story. Hey, listen, all right, so you successful career in the military, and all of a sudden you say, hey, wait a minute, I think I'll go to dental school. What happened there?
Well, I was a flight instructor. I came back to Naval Air Training Command, and I liked what I was doing with that. At that time, we were training guys that were going right over to Nam. I mean, this was, I was probably from, let me take a second, 71 to 74. We were still in contact overseas. And so there we were, you know, we were the guys who had been there, and we were bringing a realistic thing to the training. And I was scheduled to go fixed wing transition, and the deal that I had with my wife was that I would try to get into grad school. I was a psych and social major and majored in playing soccer in college, and so I took some courses and I applied to dental school, and here I am. What can I tell you? It interested me, and again, I went off to dental school in what would that have been, 74. I go up there with my Class A uniform and my chest full of whatever that I'd been there, medals and so forth, and the discipline and so forth of the dental school. By then, we'd already had, Darla was born, our first was born down in Florida at the Naval Hospital there. We knew that, again, my priority was family. Go back to what my dad taught me. My priority was family. Where do we want to raise the family? And we looked all over, and Chesterfield was still developing. And I said, well, this looks like a good place to start a business. So started a business from scratch, and waited for the business to grow around us. So that's how that all sort of evolved. That's when I started actually doing reffing soccer games, was in dental school to make a buck, 8 games on Saturdays and 6 games on Sundays, making $5 a game or whatever it was, into the different communities, if you will. There's a whole hierarchy of youth sports in the country. There's youth sports, there's high school sports, there's college sports, there's Division I, II, and III college, there's NAIA, and then of course there's the pros, and I was lucky, climbed that ladder pretty quickly, and as we moved into the St. Louis community at that time, the hotbed of soccer, and was fortunate enough to get involved with the pro soccer leagues, both outdoor and indoor, and did men's games, women's games, college games all over the country. I think I've been to every state. So that was putting hot dogs on the grill while we were waiting for the business to grow around us.
There you go. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
This We Salute episode is brought to you by the Operating Engineers Local 513, who provide jobs for military veterans through their Helmets to Hard Hats program.
All right. We're back with Dr. Herbert Silva, Vietnam vet, successful dentist. You were in the practice for 38 years. When did you start the Missouri School of Dentistry and Oral Health's Veterans Smile Forward program? What is that all about?
Yeah, go Google Veterans Smile Forward and you can find out what we're doing. So I sold my practice. 38 years was enough. It was time to move on, and had a good group of people. Actually, my son was a dentist. He had gone to USC, and I thought he was going to take over the practice until we found out that he wanted to go back and take some more courses and specialize. But in any event, we sold the business, and I was able to sit on the couch, I think, for a week before my wife said, okay, go do something. The school had started. I had communicated with them. I had donated a couple of bucks. Dentistry had been really good to me, and came down and submitted an application. I said, well, let me come down. Maybe I can be a part-time. I said, I don't know if I can be on faculty. I said, but I've been an instructor in professional soccer, and I've been an instructor in flight school, and maybe there's some similarities that we can pass things on. And I went from one day a week to 2 days a week to all of a sudden they offered me a full-time position, and that's about 5 years ago now, it seems. At school, the school's mission is to serve the needy of significance. We're down and by the old city hospital downtown, and I really was enthralled right away. There's programs with called Dentistry in the Community, where the students are encouraged to get out into the community. And we went to a place, Dexter, Missouri, south, about 3 hours south of the South of Cape, and out 40 miles west of the cotton fields. I didn't know there were cotton fields in Missouri, and in the middle of nowhere, and the students go there, and it was basically a point and pull, a lot of need for extractions there. But it was a terrific environment for the students to learn procedures. As it turned out, the administrator there had a Marine plaque up on the wall, and we did our secret handshake and sang the Marine Corps hymn. And I suggested to him that, gee, could we do something for veterans? So it started, and that was in 2016. It started down in Dexter. We went down with veteran students, some veteran faculty, and and we extracted a bunch of teeth. We came back up to school, and I wrote some letters up the chain of command and said, hey, now what? We've helped create some dental cripples. What can we do to help these people? We're in a partnership with Affinia Healthcare, and in our environment, nothing is really given away, or not much is given away here at school. I mean, it's at a reduced fee. It's on a small portion of what the fees were in Yuppieville, if you will. But nonetheless, it's a question of trying to get services to people at a reduced cost. So it started the president of the university. It was the 125th anniversary of the university, A.T. Still University, and they said, here's 20 grand. That's how it started. See what you can do. So then, and turned me loose, I started talking to the laboratories and the dental supply people, and everybody wants to help veterans. Veterans don't get much from the VA. You got to be 100% disabled or service-connected disability to get dental benefits. So again, I'm not afraid to swim upstream with that. And I would say to the dental supply people, hey, don't lose money, just don't make money. And so they gave us a reduced fee, and we got other corporations that would donate either services and or parts, if you will, for the dentures, the teeth and such. We started with dentures, with full dentures, because it was a fixed fee. We would know what it was going to be. So we negotiated it at a percentage of what the reduced fees are here to begin with. We started this in 2016. It's very small. I wrote a proposal to the dean, and again, faculty and administration have all been very receptive. I said, let's do stuff on Friday. I don't want to interfere with what's going on during the week. We started with five veterans that were driving up from Dexter. And next thing we knew, we had volunteer faculty. This morning, I had a dozen faculty here volunteering their time on a Saturday morning. The students need to get procedures in order to get their license. The prosthetics, full denture prosthetics, is one of the things that they need to do. I got an idea. Let's put the two together. So we did. We've had donations, but started with the president. The Dean's Fund also gave us some stuff. We went out into the community. Go back to Pat Owen. Pat's the treasurer for the Distinguished Flying Cross Society. He's got those guys to donate a bunch of bucks. A bunch of the Marines that I flew with the NAM have donated money. Faculty have donated money, school. Again, the sources have been terrific to help the veterans. What's happened then is that we went out into the community and say, hey, look, here's our model. Here's what we're doing on these Saturdays. If veterans are in need of, we went from full dentures to partial dentures. Here's what we can do to recreate some smiles and give people back some of their dignity, if you will. So that's where this has been ongoing now. It's become the way for students to get those procedures checkmarked so they can graduate. We've graduated four classes. Today we delivered, I think, three more cases this morning, so we're now up over 200, I think, 205 cases.
It's an amazing story, truly amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's really a good deal, and like I say, we're changing lives.
You are listening to We Salute by The Open Source. Become a subscriber. Go to www.theopensource.com. Add your email to the podcast subscription window. Get new shows in your inbox.
Well, as we wind up, is there anything else going on?
Well, I've retired from my soccer career, if you will. I did that for 40 years and traveled all over the country. Now I'm trying to play. I'm trying to play a grandpa to my six grandchildren. The new one's 6 months old, and it's fun. We got three boys and three girls, grandchildren, and it's really fun playing grandpa and trying to stay out of my wife's hair that she doesn't kick me out and make me go do the yard work type of thing.
Great story. Well, I told you at the beginning of the show that Dr. Silva was amazing. Here he is living and working in the St. Louis communities, a good life, an interesting life, and he gives back. Thank you, Dr. Silva, for your time. We at The Open Source salute you.
Thanks, Dick.
This episode of The Open Source was sponsored by the Operating Engineers Local 513. Go to IUOE513.org to learn about their Earn While You Learn hiring program. Military veterans are eligible, too. To listen to more shows like this one, visit our website, www.theopensource.club. Add your email address in the podcast subscription window and get new shows in your inbox. I'm your host, Dick Hewlett. Thank you for listening to the opensource.club podcast. Become a subscriber through RSS or YouTube. There's more to come that you won't want to miss. Our name is our web address, theopensource.club.